Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, it's so good to be back here. Amen. And it's amazing what God is doing all over the world. And so we just want to pray. Lord, we just come before you this morning and we bow low. As we come into your presence, Lord, I yield, surrender, submit to the Holy Ghost. And Father, I take authority over the atmosphere. I loose heavenly body parts, new parts, new eyes, new ears, new lungs, new teeth. Father, I release the resources of heaven. And I decree and declare in your name that your kingdom come today in righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. Have your way, Father. Fill my mouth with everything that heaven is saying. Open my eyes to see everything that you're doing. And Lord, move in an unprecedented way. I release the winds of heaven to blow afresh upon everyone that's dry, ashamed, confused, disappointed. Lord, I release the fire of your word. As Jeremiah said, it was like fire shut up in my bones. And Father, I release the rivers of Ezekiel, not just ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, but Lord, such a river that it will overflow this place today. And Lord, you take us today, Father, where you want us to go. And Father, we praise you, we thank you for it, we give you all the glory, all the honor, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody shouted amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Praise God. Here I are back in New York. Praise God. You know, I've been accused of sounding like a New Yorker, but it's not because I'm from Texas. I'm originally from New Orleans. And so we have a lot of different words there, but praise God. I was New Orleans born and bred, and then I got to Texas as quick as I could. Amen. Yeehaw. Praise God. So, you know, I've been fortunate, blessed. It's such an honor to be here. I am so humbled that God would use somebody like me. It never ceases to amaze me, you know. And I've chosen to live humble and broken before him because he said he is near those that are of a broken heart. He saves those who are of a contrite spirit. And every city, every state, every nation that we've ever gone into, I've gone into, which is 38, Jesus has always showed up.
Amen.
Salvation, healings, deliverance, that's who he is. And he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So I just want to say some things, and then we're going to get right on into the word. I think everybody knows and realizes where we are as a nation, what you're seeing. Nobody would have thought this would be happening 20 years ago. Amen. Hallelujah. But we are where we are, and God is still on the throne. God laughs at his enemies. None of this stuff has ever moved God. None of these things ever surprised God. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still saving. He's still healing. He's still delivering. And he is coming soon. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so 4 years ago, I was actually in this area. And I got a phone call. And I believe I was supposed to share this temporarily. My former wife, who graduated and went to heaven, was rushed to the hospital. And from June 11th to July 1, she went to glory. Now, I say that to say this because there's some here today that you've lost loved ones and you've never gotten over that. The grief, the sorrow, the burden of it has never, ever left you. And some of you have lost loved ones, you know, sons, daughters, mothers, fathers. And the anointing of God is here this morning to break every yoke. Any burden you have, any yoke that has been put on you by man, today I decree and declare it broken in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I'm not going to go into all the details of that. Only this is that God is absolutely faithful. And at my lowest point, I had been in ministry for 40-something years at that time. And at my lowest point, I was just totally discouraged. I was really ready to give up. I even told God, I said, I'm done. I said, I've done everything that you've asked me to do. I've gone everywhere that you've asked me to go. I'm finished. And his response to me was, well, that's very selfish of you. See, he can talk to you like that if you have a love relationship with him. But if you're not in a relationship with him like that, you might get offended. And when he said that, because I had been praying that morning about 3 hours, just crying out to God, mostly complaining. Nobody's ever done that in this church. So he doesn't listen to your complaints. Reminds me of another time when I first went to Bible school and the Lord told me to do something back in 1975. And anybody ever see the show Yellowstone? Don't confess. But anyway, you shouldn't be watching that. The reason why I'm telling you this is I refurbished those barns in 1976. I completely remodeled it. That's Darby, Montana. And right when the show comes on, you see the big Yellowstone there, the big barn doors up there. I had built an 8-foot-wide set of stairs that went all the way from the top down to the bottom. We turned the hayloft into an area where we serve, you know, food, and you could have we had our conventions there. That was called Chief Joseph Ranch. And all the bottom part of it, we wrapped it with 1x9 pine, trimmed out the windows, and then I was the head cook for all the conferences there. So whenever you see that, first of all, repent, turn it off, but if you do watch it, you shouldn't be watching stuff like that. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we see, because God is coming soon, Jesus is coming soon. Yep. And all of this stuff, you can see in 2 Timothy, he said, in the last days, there's going to be mockers, scoffers. And I think we're seeing that. The Lord woke me up in April of, I want to say 2020, at about 3:30 in the morning and began to not just speak to me, began to preach to me this particular text out of 1 Kings, where Goliath comes into the camp and he begins to curse, mock, belittle, scoff the gods of Israel and all of the Israelite army. And of course, you know, we have covenant. They had covenant. But whenever this giant presented itself, they were fearful, they were dismayed. And it brought a great fear, but not the fear of God, which is one of the things I want to talk to you about today. Because the Lord said he's going to restore the fear of the Lord to the church like never before. Number two, holiness. He said, without holiness, we are not going to see, perceive, understand what he's doing and what he's saying at this time. Amen. We have to walk upright before God. No matter what the world does, no matter what the church world does, no matter what the church world is saying, we live holy. We live pure. We live in the fear of the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so he began to preach to me where David said, you come against me with the sword, a spear, a shield, but I come against you. Of course, this is what David said. I come against you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. But this is what God said to me in that prophetic dream and that prophetic utterance. He said, you come against me with COVID. But I come, listen, and you come against me with variants. and you come against me. And as soon as he said that, the word of the Lord exploded me in James 1:17, where it says, in him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Lord said, I've never lost my power for healing. I have never abandoned my people. I have never run from the battlefield. I have never turned at the greatest time of adversity. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And so God began to speak that to me very clearly, and I knew right away what was coming. I knew right away what was going on, and the Lord said this to me. He said, this fear, it's the fear of man, is a snare. But the fear of God is healthy, wholesome. When you have the fear of the Lord in your life, you're going to see signs, wonders, miracles. You're going to see the blessing of God overtaking you. You're going to see God turning things inside out and upside down. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so many people began to fear, but not to fear the Lord. And they began to do everything that government was saying, everything that medical science. How many of you realize that God's greater than all of those things? Can you say amen? You know, when I was launched into my ministry overseas in 1984, the very first meeting we had was on the Indian Ocean, and we were ministering and preaching to thousands of unborn, not born again, heathenistic Indian people. And as we ministered the word of the Lord, thousands, I'm talking thousands, blind eyes were open, deaf ears were open, cripples got up and walked. There was a baby that was dead, its eyes rolled back in its head. Their Hindu mother and father carrying the dead baby around. Listen, Jesus is the same. It makes no difference what comes. He is the same. He is the Savior. He is the healer. He is the deliverer. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so this was our launch into the ministry that God's called us into. And every nation that I have gone into, the same thing happened. The lost get saved, the sick get healed, the oppressed get set free, the demon possessed, come on, they get delivered. Can you say amen? Because Jesus is the same. He's never changed. He's never lost his formula to do the same thing. Amen? But what happens is when we as God's people begin to compromise truth, it doesn't matter, listen to me, who's in the White House. That's not the issue. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican, a Democrat. What the problem is in the White House is no truth. Our nation has departed from the truth. When you look at Hosea 4:6, everybody knows this. It says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But nobody goes back to verse 1. Verse 1 gives you the answer as to why they are destroyed. And it says this, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God has somewhat of a controversy against you in that there is no truth. There's been a departure from the truth. Truth is what sets everyone free. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what denomination you've been in. It doesn't matter whether you've been a drug addict or whatever. Truth will set you free because truth is a person. And he came to set the captives free. Amen? And so he said, there is no truth and there is no mercy. Or the Hebrew word for mercy there is no love. So Israel departed from the truth, from the word of God, because you cannot have absolute truth without the word of God. Are you with me? You know, we're living in a generation today, Pastor, where 25 years and under think that there's more than one way to get to heaven. And if you don't think so, do the research on it. They're not preaching absolute truth. They're not preaching the doctrines of Jesus. Are you with me? They're like what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2 when he's preaching to the churches of Pergamum and Thyatira and all of that. Basically what he says is this. He said, if you don't get this stuff out of my church, this is Jesus talking. He said, I'm going to come with my two-edged sword. I'm going to fight against you. Come on, and I'm going to remove this thing because it's like a cancer. Are you with me? You cannot compromise truth. There's four major definitions of the word compromise. One of the ones that I want to touch on today is this. It means to impair the immune system. So when your physical immune system is impaired, what happens? You get sick. Why? Because your body that was created in the image and the likeness, come on, are you with me? Created by God, it can't fight off those radicals. So when I was studying and writing this and seeking the Lord, I said, Lord, what is the compromise that's in the church right now? Because you can see it everywhere. When you look at the spirit of Baal, that's compromise. It was in the church. This is Jesus rebuking his church. Come on. In Revelation. The spirit of Ashtoreth, perversion. Are you with me? All of that stuff was in the church. This, you know, you can't stop the world. The world's going to do what it's going to do, but we shouldn't have any of this stuff in the church. Are you with me? And he says, I hate that spirit of the Nicolaitans. Are you with me? Because they were bringing in everything. You know, you see these signs coexist. How many of you know that truth cannot coexist with lies? Are you with me? Come on. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only Savior. He is the only Redeemer. He is the only one that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Praise God. And so you see that compromise means to impair. And I said, so Lord, what is, and you want to write this down, what is the immune system of every believer? Believe me, I have sought God on this. And he said to me, very simple, very quickly, he said, it's faith. He said, I've given to every man, every woman, the measure of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently and earnestly seek him. And so when you compromise your faith, two things immediately happen. Number one, this is dangerous. You stop hearing what God is saying. Write that down. When you're not hearing what God's saying, how does faith come, first of all? By hearing, and hearing what? The word. Come on. Second thing happens is you stop seeing what God is doing. What were the two things that Jesus said he did? He said, I love this, Pastor. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. Yeah. Now think about how our lives would be if we only did what we saw God doing. You think we might have a few less heartaches? Come on, you think we might have some more hair on our head maybe, possibly? Are you with me? Come on. Only do what you see the Father doing. And this is what he said. He said, and I only say, boy, this will get everybody. I only say what I hear the Father say. Have you ever heard God say, well, I'm sick, man. I'm telling you, the devil's on my back today. He's coming after me. Have you ever? No. Have you ever heard him say, well, you know, the banks of heaven are broken. We're running out of supply. We're going to have to shut it down. The light bills are going. I'm telling you, it's too expensive. We got to stop running the air conditioning because everything just. Come on. Have you ever heard him say that? Are you with me? And so we have to understand we've got to keep ourselves from compromise. And the only way that we do that is abide in truth. Jesus said in John 15:1-15, if you abide in me and my words are abiding in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done. We cannot produce the fires of God the wind of God, the rivers of God, if we don't remain in the Word of God. Are you with me? And I want you to see something this morning. I believe it's so important for the church. Jesus said, out of you, in John's gospel, will flow rivers of living water. Most of the church world is trying to get something to flow into it. Are you with me? Jesus is saying, out of you. Jesus is saying, go into all the world, preach, proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you receive, freely give. Everything that God put in you in Christ Jesus is designed to come out of you. I asked this question all over the world. And I said, where does Jesus live? I'm going to ask you that question today. Where is Jesus living? Come on. Tell me, where does he live? Does he live in here? Then why are you struggling with sin? Why are you struggling with peace? Is Jesus the Prince of Peace? Where does he live? So where is peace? It's in me. Come on. Is Jesus your healer? So where does healing live? It's in me. This is what Paul writes by revelation of the Spirit of God. He said, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Healing, why are we asking God and begging God to give us something he's already provided? Jesus was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:17, himself bare our sicknesses and our infirmities in his own body. He's in us. He is in us. He is in us. Come on. Is he the wisdom of God? Where does wisdom live? If you'll hear my voice today, saith the Lord, you'll understand that I put everything I am in you when I gave you Christ. When he came into your heart, everything I have, everything I am is already on the inside of you, saith the Lord. But you've got to enforce. You've got to release it. You've got to speak it. You have to decree it, because I said I'm watching over my word to perform it. So don't go by what you feel, and don't go by what you see, and don't go by what the world is saying and what religion is preaching, but go by and live by what I said. For I am watching over my word to perform it on your behalf, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, sometimes people say, well, why does somebody get healed and the other one don't? Well, they already are healed. Some receive, some don't. You have to understand, I was a quarterback. If I throw you the football, you got to receive it. You can get hit in the face with it all day long. In fact, there was a guy I played with, one of the fastest. Well, he was a white boy, but he was fast. His name was Ronnie Benoit. I mean, I'm not kidding you. This kid, he'd get 10, 15 yards past everybody. He was always in the open. And I'd hit him and it'd go right through his hands. Hit him in the chest. Couldn't catch it. I stuck it in his helmet one day. He still couldn't hold on to it. So he got in the end zone. He was standing back there by himself and he's going like this. And I went, no, you don't know how to receive. So how many of you understand our faith positions us to receive? But even more important than that is Matthew 22, where it says in verses 36 through 40, what do we need to do? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength. You see, that's the curtain rods of life. Can you hang curtains without the rod? Love is what everything hangs on. If our love life is not right, our faith won't work. We won't have peace. We won't have joy. We won't have strength. We won't be long-suffering. Come on. Are you with me? Everything hangs on that curtain rod of love. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say this with me this morning. Father, fill me afresh and anew with the Holy Spirit and fire. And let there be an explosion of your love. I return to you, Father, my first love, with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my mind. And I will love everyone. Everyone, as you love me, in Jesus' mighty name. And I'm telling you, when you do that, you're getting ready to have miracle after miracle after miracle take place in your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.